All right, welcome to Quest. All right, well, my name is Scotty Brooks, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm the pastor, and I have just a few announcements. Yeah, what's my name again? There was a bearded guy here last week. He's gone now. All these announcements are in your bulletin, but I'm just going to touch on a few of them. One is Men of Quest, Pizza and Wings Night's coming up. Quest is revamping their men's ministry to give it a jump start again and get it going. And that is coming up on April the 1st at 6 p.m. So if you're interested, all your information is in the bulletin. Next we have Easter. For Easter service, we're not going to be here. We're going to be at the auditorium at the high school in Bell Fountain. And it's actually going to be a really special night. We're going to have both campuses come together. We've got people from both churches. Both Bill and I are going to give part of the message. We got greeters and workers from this campus, greeters work from that campus, and we're just truly just going to be two locations, but one church. We're going to come together. It's going to be really neat. And we're going to give the gospel, and it's just going to be a nice, comfortable, open place to invite all of our neighbors to come. We're pretty blessed with this location because, honestly, it's not very scary to walk into a school. But sometimes, for some people, it's scary to walk into a church. So it's going to be a really neat Easter. We're looking forward to it. And last is next week. I want to ask you of something. If you are willing, would you bring some cash for a good cause? It's kind of a surprise. I can't tell you. We're going to do something really special during the service next week. So if you want to, just a reminder, bring a little bit of cash. We're going to do something really special during the service. And I don't think you'll forget it. It's really cool. But I just want to let you know now. And afterwards, we're going to have pizza here at the school. So if you want to stay after church, we'll share some pizza together. Sound good? All right, let's get back to worship. If you would stand and maybe turn and greet someone, and we'll get back to singing. All right.
Darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless and all in wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. All that you've done for me. the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. This is amazing. This is unfailing love. They wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. As heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. The battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, stone was rolled away. Perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated, and forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. He is risen, he is alive, he is alive. The ground began to shake, the ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated, and forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high, and forever he is risen. He is alive.
Glorified. place. I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and need. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need for Him to be my Savior, that He would leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. You count it strange, so what did I? For I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's soul is there. For this love that you brought into the world when you came as just this little baby. And without you, we would have no hope at all. So we just thank you for this hope that you brought to us, God, and we just want to live in that now. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
All right. Can you hear me okay? No? Yeah. All right. Right on. Well, are you, is the new seating arrangement weird? Or are you okay? Okay? Everybody's like, I don't know. Let's change. So we took the tables out. We thought people felt too spread out and like not close to each other. So we're just trying some stuff. Anyway, we are currently in a series on famous last words. So as we approach Easter, we're in a time of Lent, a time of preparation as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and when he rose. And in that, we are going through some of Jesus' famous last words. If you had just a few hours left to live, what would you say? What would you want to pass on? What would you want to take care of? We know, for example, that in Jesus' final moments that he took care of his earthly mother. He put the Apostle John in charge of taking care of Mary. He says, woman, this is your son, and man, this is your mother. In other words, take care of my mother as if she were yours. We know that he also said, in his last few moments, he said, it is finished. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And then we have one more week before Easter. And if you'd like to follow along today, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. And I'll have the words on the screen, but some people like to follow along. It'll be John, chapter 19. One thing about what Jesus came to do is when he came and he completed his mission, but when he was on the cross, it was like he was taking on all that pain, and it was sort of like there was something different going on at the cross than what he was doing when he was walking the earth and when he had disciples. And he's hanging up there and he's going through something more than just physical death. The Bible tells us that he at that time took on all the sins of the world and God poured out his wrath on his son. And he says it even pleased the Father to do that because he knew that he was saving the world. Well, in John chapter 19, we're going to go through that a little bit here. And it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, and this is to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. When Jesus was up there on the cross, I sort of think like, okay, he's just been whipped. He's bleeding all over. He carried his cross out there. He's been hanging on the cross for about 6 hours at this point. He's hanging up there. He's got nails through his hands. I thought of all the things you're going to say, Jesus, you're going to say that you thirst. It's almost sort of a challenge because he's supposed to be the water that gives new life and things like that. So I thought that would be a funny thing. Wouldn't you say like, ouch, my back hurts, or these nails are painful, or all these other things, or it's hard to breathe because he's hanging up there, but he says that I thirst. And what he was doing was he was fulfilling scripture, literally. It's like in his last moments even, he is still on mission. He cares about us. He cares about you. He came to save us. And even at the very last moments when it could be full of so much pain, he never forgot what he's there to do. And it was his mission and joy to fulfill every last word of scripture. Thirst symbolizes, in the Bible, it often symbolizes agony. So, for example, when Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus said, once there was a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate, and he was laid there often to beg, and he wished he could just have some scraps that fell from the rich man's table, but he never got any. When the two of them died, well, Lazarus went to go be with Father Abraham, saying he basically went to heaven, basically. And the rich man, when he died, he went down to death, down to Sheol, down to hell. And Jesus said, at that time, the rich man looked up, and he saw there was a great chasm. He says, Father Abraham, I'm in torment down here. Would you ask Lazarus just to dip his finger in the water and bring him down here to cool my tongue? The one thing, he's suffering in hell, the one thing the rich man asked for was, may I have just a drop of water? This thirst is killing me. All this other anguish, the thing that hurts the most, the thing that I have to go through because of sin is thirst. And so that just symbolizing what Jesus did for us. He is also paying for all of our sins. He has taken the agony that we deserve. But also, it wasn't just that he thirsted, just to, like, pass on the meaning of what he's doing. But also, man, he said it was to fulfill the scripture, the Apostle John tells us. I just think, man, he is so on mission. He is so caring about us that even in those last moments when he fulfills scripture, it's like, I know that I can trust God's word because Jesus is going to make sure that every word comes to pass. I can trust it. So every promise that God has for us, it's not like, wow, I hope God remembers to care for me. I hope God actually loves me enough. No, all the promises in the Bible I can trust because Jesus is going to see that it gets done. Next thing is, we're going to present the gospel on Easter when we go to Bell Fountain. And generally when you present the gospel and you share with someone, there's almost, if you could categorize it in two fields, there's usually one, people say, I don't know, I think I'm too good, I don't really need that, like I don't really need Jesus, or I'm so bad, you don't know what I've done, I don't think I could ever be good enough for him to accept me. It's usually either one side or the other, if I could generalize. And one thing is, when it says, Jesus got to the end, he said it is finished, and it says, he gave up his soul. That's pretty important. The actual root word there is he delivered, really. He delivered his soul. And I almost never say the Greek says this or the Greek says that because I feel like it just sounds so smarty pants when people say that. But something really cool happens in the text here if you just bear with me a minute. So the story leading up to Jesus being on the cross, first, there's the traitor. Who's that? Judas, right? And Judas basically goes to the religious authorities and he says, what will you give me if I deliver Jesus to you? Okay, and then they make a deal. Okay, then the Last Supper comes, and then after that, Jesus takes the apostles out on the Mount of Olives, and basically here comes the traitor, and it says basically he delivered him into their hands. So again, Jesus has been delivered, it says. And then he's standing before Pilate, and Pilate is questioning him. Pilate's like, tell me what's going on. Don't you want to defend yourself? And Jesus is like, listen, I'm only here because God says so. He could at any time call in an army of angels and deliver me from you. But until then, I'm here. And then Pilate says, listen, I don't find this guy's guilty of anything. What's going on? And the crowd says, hey, if he wasn't guilty, we wouldn't have delivered him to you. And again, they deliver him, deliver him, deliver him. And finally, Pilate delivers him to the soldiers to go and be crucified. And it's like again and again and again, Jesus is delivered. Like it's happening to him. Like he's the weak, the passive one, and he's getting delivered. But at this point it says, and at the very end, when everything was finally complete, Jesus accomplished his mission and he said, it is finished. And he basically delivered his soul. John chapter 10 says, Jesus says, I have the power to lay down my life and to take it back up again. Jesus has the power to give it whenever he's ready. And he died and he gave his life at the time to fulfill God's mission and never at the mercy of men. But his mission and our salvation is securely in Jesus' hands because he has the power and the authority to do that. And so one thing is when people say, you just don't know how bad I am. Or you don't know my past. I don't know if I can ever be good enough. See, when Jesus says, it is finished, and he delivered, he's saying, I have the power. I completed my mission, and I have the power to deliver whenever I want. And it's like, no matter how bad you think it is, there's nothing that you can add to that. You can't be so bad that it takes away because I have the power. You have no power to stop it. You have no power to take away from it. It's like if I were a billionaire, and I said, I would like to adopt you, and I care about you, and I see that you need someone to care for you, you're lost, and me and Lisa, we would like to adopt you, and you're like, I don't know, you don't know my past. It's like, I mean, I owe. Well, how much do you, he's like, well, I owe $50. Like, if I were a billionaire, like, my lunch tip would be $50. Like, that's nothing. Like, all the sins added up together wouldn't amount to what Jesus could pay for. Jesus has the authority and the power to deliver. Finally, when Jesus says, it is finished, he's finally declaring once and for all that everything that he's been working on, everything that we had been waiting for all throughout the Old Testament and God's people had been waiting for, finally is completed in him. So it's actually kind of neat because Jesus' first miracle, if you read your Bible, does anyone remember what his first miracle was? He was at Cana, there was a wedding, and they ran out of what? They ran out of wine, right? And so Jesus' mother is like, Jesus, they ran out of wine. He's like, mother, it's not my time yet. But his mother, being probably a strong woman, she just so believed in him. She told the servants, just do whatever he tells you. And so Jesus says, all right, go ahead and fill those stone jars with water. And these would be special jars for washing. They'd be so big that once they put the water in them, you couldn't move them. They'd be heavy to move them even when they were empty. They're probably about this tall. So they filled them up with water. They took a scoop to the master of the ceremony that could have been, in our day, it would be like the best man or the groom's father or someone who was in charge of the party. But see, the groom, it was the groom's party. And so he took a scoop and he took it to the master, and the master took a sip and he said, wow, what you have given here, this wine here that you've saved to last, this is the good stuff. See, it's sort of like everything in the Old Testament was like, it's good stuff, it's wine, I mean, it's a party, it's a celebration, God gave us joy, God's doing good things to us, but it wasn't quite enough, and the party was lacking. And it's sort of like Jesus shows up in the scene, and he fills the gap. And he says, wow, not only do we have wine now for the party, but this is the best stuff. This is the absolute best stuff. So the idea of it being finished and there's nothing we can add and am I so bad and there's nothing that we can add to our salvation, I'd like to tell you a little story about a good king and a bad king. So once there was a very good king and he had a great kingdom and he had a son, a prince. And so it just so happened that this great king was neighbors with a very bad king. And the bad king, just so happens he had a daughter. It's like Romeo and Juliet, right? And the bad king, even though he was very bad, it wasn't like he was weak. He was also powerful. He was a real threat. He was a real problem. And he was smart, and he was a man of war. He was strong. And well, the prince happens upon the princess one day. She should be his enemy. But he stumbles upon her, and he gazes upon her, and he's like, wow, she's awesome. And they have a moment to chat a little bit. And they just gel. They just connect. And then because they live in opposite kingdoms, they have to go back their own ways. Well, like any young prince who meets a young princess, all he can think about is this girl he met, right? And this thing is like growing inside of him, like, oh man, wish I could see her again. Oh, I wish I could see her. And it's growing and it's growing. And he starts sending letters, okay? And she feels the same way about him as she starts writing back. But they have to keep it a secret because of their fathers. Eventually, the evil king discovers the letters. And to him, all he cares about is growing his empire. And people are just pawns to him. The good king cares about the people. And he would often send the prince off to protect someone or take care of people. And so the evil king, who uses people like pawns, he went to his daughter and he says, what are these letters that I found? Are you a traitor? Are you going behind my back with my enemy? And she says, I love him. And so he says, this is treason. And so he sends her to death. But he's not stupid. He also makes sure that the prince finds out about it. So the prince finds out about his love, is now sentenced to death. And what do you think he's going to do, right? How's the story go with the princess? Of course, he's got to go and save her. No matter what, he's got to figure something out. And so the evil king knows it's going to happen. And just using the daughter like a pawn, he puts her in a dungeon and he says, all right, I know that prince is going to come. This is my chance to strike my enemy and get his son. So he sets up 1,000 monsters to stop the prince from coming in. And then he, being a man of war himself, stands outside the dungeon to guard and just wait to capture that prince. And then inside the dungeon, he puts his best assassin. He says, listen, no matter what, if somehow the prince gets past 1,000 monsters and me, and if he makes it in here, no matter what, I want to make sure that my enemy suffers. So if he makes it in here, I want you to take the life of my daughter so that at least he, the prince, will not be happy with my daughter. He's just so evil. So the prince rides into the evil country, and the monsters are waiting for him. And he fights and he fights and he fights. And it's like, I have to do whatever it takes to rescue the person that I love. And he fights his way through, and eventually he fights his way through all of the monsters. And he gets finally up to the dungeon, and the king, the man of war, strong and smart, is waiting for him. And they battle with swords clashing, and they're both taking injuries. They're both bleeding. And finally, the prince overcomes him. And the prince, knowing how tricky this king is, knows there's probably a trap inside. And he slides through the dungeon, and the assassin's in there, and the assassin goes to take the life of the young princess, but the prince is so strong and fast, he takes out the assassin just as the assassin starts to cut her throat. And she's there with a little cut, and he's sitting there, bleeding, but in good shape and victorious, and he unhooks her, and they embrace, and with tears running down their face, finally, they kiss. And at that moment, she says, thank you, thank you. And here's $20 to help for the price that you paid. Like, how ridiculous would that be after the great price you paid? And she's like, I want to add. I want to help pay for. But sometimes when people don't feel good enough, they feel like a guilt, like I'm not good enough for Jesus to save me or for God to save me. And what they do is they try to do their own good works. They try to add $20 to the pot. Even though the prince came and in a bloody battle gave everything to save the people he loves, they're still like, oh, let me add something. I don't feel like I deserve what you're giving. But Jesus says that's the whole point. It's not about deserve anymore. Since we did the crime and we owe a fine and he paid the fine for us, no fine is left. And sometimes all it takes is us just coming to the reality that what he wants from us now is just to go over to his kingdom and live with him and just love him. I feel like two brothers that have been apart for a long time, man, my brother wants me to just come over and just like walk with him and hang out and be with him. There's no good I can add to what Jesus has done. So this week, as you go home, I want to challenge you just a little bit. I thought, you know, I know some of the people here, and some people have been Christians for a long time. They're probably pretty strong. And I don't think that they would personally be struggling with like, oh, I'm so bad. Jesus wouldn't love me. But I bet they might know someone in their family or one of their friends that's just like, yeah, I'll get around to it sometime. But what they're really saying is, I'm just not comfortable with that. Something is not comfortable inside me. I was talking to a guy just this last summer, and I was kind of sharing with him. He says, yeah, you know, I'll get right with God someday. Someday I'll get around to it. He's saying, I'm just not comfortable. And he shared that he used to be very involved in the Church of Latter-day Saints and the Mormon Church. And now he's a homosexual and they rejected him. And he's like, he knows that he's got this thing. And I think he just believes also that it's sin. And to him, in his eyes, he's like, how can I ever get back to God now? And he just had this look like, I can just never get there anymore. And so he would try to like do other good things. He told me about all the good things he did. Like I didn't ask him, but he made special effort, went out of the way to tell me about all the good things he does. So he's trying to justify. But it's like, if I'm standing before the judge and my fine is $1 million, it's like adding another $20 and going to do it. I need a hero to come in and pay my fine. And when he does, it's home free. There's nothing I can possibly add. Totally free. So I'd like to challenge you this week that if there's someone you know that is under the pressure that they can just like, I'll never be good enough. I'll never be on that team. Would you specifically take time just to pray for them? You don't have to go talk to them, but this week specifically, like what time are you going to do that this week to really just pray for them? Like, Lord, help them to see how great the hero is and the price that he paid. And it's not about deserve anymore. It's about trusting in the one who can pay for it. And second, if you're willing, next week we're going to do something very special during the service that I talked about in the announcements. Just whatever, a couple dollars or $5, we're going to do something really neat. I don't think you're going to ever forget it. And it's going to be part of us reaching out to other people. And right before we go to Easter, we're going to talk about how much does Jesus value the people that he came for? How much does he value you? Do you feel valued? Or do you just want to be good or do good? But does that make sense this week? It is finished. There's nothing we can add. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much, Father God, for sending your Son to come. And Lord God, though the enemy was strong, Lord, I'm so grateful that Jesus came. And though it must have cost him everything, Lord, he paid my price, and I'm so grateful. Lord, as each of these people go home today, Lord, I pray your special blessing on them. Might they go home, Lord God, and just have confidence and faith. May they just have a new confidence in how much you love them. There's nothing, Lord, that they can add, Lord. Just fill them with just a love and a confidence of how close you are and how much you want them to come over and just walk with you, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. May we go home and live in your good kingdom and represent you well. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Thank you. we stand here in this place, God, together as one group of believers, and we just rest in this promise that you are here for us, and we know we need you. There's just no doubt in our mind in so many ways, Lord. Each one may be a little bit different. So God, just come in your power in this moment, in this day, in this week, and just move within us and just reveal yourself just a little bit more to us. And pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.